Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. Talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
Rob Manfred is not done ruining baseball. The NFL season is 1 week away, and the Phillies and the Cubs are tied for the top spot in the NL wildcard. But we begin today's show with Aaron Donald's back. Of course he is. The Rams are trying to do what the Dodgers did. Will the boomerang player help the Rams capture another Super Bowl?
Well, I know Joe
Miles
Buck is
Garrett in. Just announced as the best player in the NFL, according to ESPN.
Interesting. And I know that, does this qualify as a shiny toy? Because I know Joe Buck was talking about shiny toy syndrome with the Rams. If you dig a toy out of the toy bin and kind of polish it, is it now a shiny new toy? I'll leave that for Joe Buck. But will he help them capture another Super Bowl? You add Donald, who was the best interior lineman and one of the best ever at getting to the quarterback. You add him to Myles Garrett, who is the best player in the league, according to ESPN. You still have Byron Young. You still have Kobe Turner. You still have Landman, who's very good. You have Curl. You have Trent McDuffie. Like, that's a good defense, right? That's an absolute... That's a Super Bowl-level defense. Yes, you had to trade Jared Verse, but you got back Myles Garrett. I'd say you did all right. I think you did okay. Offensive side of the ball, they're loaded, right? Stafford, Williams, Corum, even if they split time, Williams and Corum is a good tandem. Puka, Devontae Adams, they just traded for Tutu Atwell again. He'll be your number 3 / kick returner. They have Parkinson and Higbee. That O-line is still really good. They have Ferguson, I believe. They have a lot. They have a lot of talent. Yes, 100%. And, yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches. And they should be the favorite. They've made all of the moves necessary to be the favorite. The talent is there. This is officially an hour never move. We talked about that with Joe Burrow. This is all in. This is chips to the table. This is chips in the middle of the table, as Jim Fossil once said. It's Super Bowl or bust. It has to be. Now, what's going to derail this team? Injury. At two specific positions. Quarterback and wide receiver. They're not very deep at the wideout position. You have Puka, you have Devontae Adams, you have Jordan Whittington. Maybe he's something. It's a drop-off after Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. So, if anything happens, they could be in trouble. Quarterback is the other position. Matthew Stafford plays through injury. We know this. He's held together by duct tape and a wish. More often than not. If he sustains a major injury to the point where he can't rely on He does have a bad back. He has a chronically bad back. But if it's something else, right? If it's a knee, if it's a shoulder, if it's a concussion, you know, who's to say? And Ty Simpson or Stetson Bennett need to step in for a prolonged period of time. That's going to derail their Super Bowl or bust. And of course it would. Ty Simpson's a rookie. Stetson Bennett in what, his third year? But he doesn't see any time. He doesn't get any burn. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo was the freaking backup quarterback up until this season. So those are the two things that could sink the Rams. That's the potential to sink the Rams. But I firmly believe and I fully expect for Aaron Donald to step right back in. He may not play week one because he just signed, got to get back into football shape. Dude's in phenomenal shape. Like, dude, like, he didn't stop working out. Like, no. He did not. But no. He's still putting Jared Verse to shame.
The workout he does with the water bottle, same. Seen that?
With the empty water bottle? Yeah, I saw
the water jug.
Absurd. It's emptying his. Yeah, the emptying water bottle. Oh, it's insane. Like, that's the level. I mean, he's functionally strong. Like, one-handed. He's functionally strong. Is he football strong? Like, we're going to find out. I have a sneaking suspicion the answer is yes. But, you know, he does need to get back into football shape. He needs to get back to into the reps, taking the beating, the whole 9 yards. But we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to preview it next week. Who we expect to be there? I firmly expect to see the Rams in the Super Bowl. But that, those two positions give me pause.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a great signing. It's great that he came back. But this is professional football. He's been out 2.5 years. I agree with you. He's going to have to get into football shape. I'm not really concerned with his initial start. It's the finish. It's the December. It's the January. It's the after Thanksgiving where I don't know what he's going to have left. And then for teams, I don't know who you're going to double team. Double team DeAndre, double team Garrett. I don't know. So will he help them win another Super Bowl? Of course, he can. It's possible, sure. Right now they're going off at plus 500. No team that has ever been plus 500 in the season is going to win the Super Bowl. There's no depth at wide receiver. One wide receiver might get suspended for at least a game. You have Matthew Stafford, who is another year older. I don't really know much about their offensive line. They've got a plethora of offensive weapons. They're going to score.
Yes.
They have as good a chance as anybody. I'm going to say that he can help them win a Super Bowl. Will he help them win the Super Bowl? I'd like to think that it's hard to play professional football, and I don't think you can take 2.5 years off, come back, and wreck shit.
He doesn't necessarily need to be the impact player that he was, because now you have Myles Garrett. Before, it was him and, Leonard Floyd? So, Myles Garrett, Leonard Floyd.
There's other ways to beat them. Like, I can run toss sweep. Like, I don't have to throw the ball downfield to beat you.
Caleb Williams.
That's
all you need to know.
Anything can happen. He can get a soft tissue injury and be a shell of himself. You know? Remember, he's not the Vince Wilfork, Casey Hampton defensive tackle. An Ndamukong Suh, J.J. Watt, fierce animal tackle. That's driving through the A-gap, putting his center on his ass. That division, you have the defending champions in that division. I expect them to compete at a high level. The 49ers, who are always hurt, they do compete. Arizona's garbage. So at the very least, they're a wild card team, right? At the very least, they're in second, I would imagine.
At the worst, yeah.
So it's definitely possible. But you just see how this is just paying off, right? It's just all of it's paying off for them. And I do agree with you because they have everything in place. They've got the quarterback. They've got the running back. They've got the wide receivers. You went and got the best defensive player, maybe the best player in football to come onto your team. And now you bring back another Hall of Fame type player. Have at it, Haas.
It's now. Right. There is no tomorrow. It's now.
So we'll see how it plays out.
Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click Join the Option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
But after the most boring preseason ever, because this was just a dreadful, dreadful preseason, only 12 teams played their starting quarterback in the preseason. 12.
Hmm.
12 teams. Oh, no. 12 teams did not play their starting quarterback. What's the point of this? It's ridiculous. The NFL season is set to kick off a week from today. So, Z, which coaches do you have on the hot seat before the season even starts?
Well, some of them are on some teams.
There's multiple.
There's a bunch of guys. Now, there's a guy. There's a bunch of guys. There are a few that are on some dog shit teams that could be one and done. There are a few that have been around the block for a while. And some that have had success that it could have just run its course. And let's start with the latter. Let's think about dog shit teams, dog shit coaches, dog shit situations. If it doesn't work, Matt LaFleur's little brother could be out on his ass.
No. 1 year?
If it's bad.
What's their projections? They're only going to win 4 games?
If he wins 1 or 2, which, guess what? The Cardinals have done in recent history under Steve Wilks. So it wouldn't surprise me if Mike LaFleur doesn't know how to be a head coach. He's never been a head coach. So it's possible. And going into that situation where your quarterback didn't want to play for you, you got Jeremiah Love, who I believe has an ankle. He was nursing an ankle. This was a couple weeks ago. He might be ready to go for week one. Marvin Harrison has been a bust. Like, let's be real. Marvin Harrison's been a bust. Yeah. So I don't know if Mike LaFleur... Maybe survives, but it wouldn't surprise me, especially with that organization, if he's one and done. If the Bills do not get what they expected from Joe Brady, do they can him and go to Mike Tomlin? Maybe. Mike Tomlin is going to be the sword of Damocles that hangs over everybody this year.
He's going to be a Jet, right?
Maybe. I mean, Aaron Glenn is on this list. Yes, Aaron Glenn is on this list. Of course, I should have led with him. My bad. Another guy who's in a shit situation who may not survive his first year is Todd Monken. Like, that's just... Cleveland's just bad. But if it's bad...
You're going to fire the only guy that wanted the job? How's that going to look?
This is a dysfunctional dog shit franchise. So it would look like the Cleveland Browns are Cleveland Browning. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. But let's move on to other coaches who have tasted success where they may have run their course. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is going to win the Chad for the third time. That's a problem. You can't win the Chad 3 times. I love Chad. You, not even Chad won the Chad 3 title. You look at him. You look at Dan Campbell of the Lions. Eventually, it gets to the point of that we need to go in a different direction. This is not working.
You're so down on Dan. You were down on him last year, too.
You need to coach with the head, not your balls. There's time to coach with your balls, and there's time to coach with your head. He picks the worst time to coach with his balls. And I appreciate the fact that he wants to coach with his balls. That's fine. There's a time and a place for everything. And another guy who may be seeing the unemployment line, D'Amico Ryans. Yes, the Houston Texans have had a modicum of success. C.J. Stroud has regressed as a quarterback. Yes, that defense has bailed out the offense.
They love him there.
Yes, but at some point, and we're going to talk to Ray Harchin about this, the author of Immaculate, How the Steelers Saved Pittsburgh. Eventually, you wear out your welcome. Mike Tomlin wore out his welcome. Right? Eventually, you need to do something. You need to move in the right direction. You need to move forward. You can't stay stagnant. And the Houston Texans are very close to being stagnant in their division. You can't hang your hat on the fact that the Colts perennially stink, the Titans are always in flux, and then the Jaguars are the Jaguars. Right? You can't take for granted that you're going to be in the playoffs. You can't take for granted that you're going to win the division. And I think D'Amico Ryans could suffer. Now, I believe D'Amico Ryans is a good head coach. We've seen good head coaches get fired. We've seen that in this league. And then you have the guys who may decide that, fuck, this is enough. I've had enough. Dan Quinn, I'm looking at you. Like, fuck this shit. I've had enough. I've had enough of it all. So there are plenty of candidates. I already mentioned Aaron Glenn. So I think I think it's pretty much complete. But could there be some guy? I mean, we didn't expect Harbaugh to leave, right? So there's plenty. We half expected Sean McDermott to leave. So there may be some guys on this list that we think, oh, their job is safe. We're good. No problem. And then all of a sudden, they don't live up to expectation and they're out the door. So I think I put some safe bets out there, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if an owner decides that we need to move to the next level and we need to make a change.
All right. I mean, some of yours are a little out there. What I'm going to say is mine are, I think, they're very more surprising than yours. First one I've got is Kyle Shanahan.
No.
It has to be. I'll tell you why. They haven't done shit. They're constantly hurt. This guy just was in a car accident that nobody wants to talk about. They've got the issue with Brandon Ayuk. I could totally see McCaffrey going down early, this ship sinking early, them losing game, and finally, management's like, you and John Lynch, get out of here. Get out of here. Because they're not winning. They haven't won.
But they've gotten to a Super Bowl.
What you say?
But he's gotten to a Super Bowl.
What does that mean? When? Years ago. They lost the same team he played the first time. I'm just saying, at some point, it's like, dude, we're not winning with you. We're not winning. So that's my number one. Number two, I guess you did say this one in some iteration, but it's Aaron. The team's decision to not keep a veteran backup quarterback is just a snap. It just speaks volumes to what this is. The kicking situation is abysmal. Now, you had Matt LaFleur, the old brother. I've got Matt LaFleur, similar to Kyle Shanahan. It's now, what are we waiting for? And they're losing Josh Jacobs, it sounds like, for Daly in the end. You got the young crew, you got rid of Dobbs, it's time for Matt Golden to shine. This is Jordan Love. We paid him. He's our quarterback. This is it. This is it. Like, he's not going to get any better. We went and traded for a stud linebacker. We've got the defense. We can't be the third best team in this division. Chicago can't pass us. Minnesota can't pass us. They have to win. Another one I have is Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles, man. Like, they're just, again, they came out hot. I want to say they started like 6-2, maybe 7-2, and then they didn't make the playoffs. All came down to the last game. Baker played like dog shit. The defense couldn't stop anybody on Thanksgiving. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch them play. Like, what is this team? What are we doing? They have to keep it together for a whole season. This is another year without Tom Brady. Who's good in this division? It's Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta. Don't let Carolina pass you. Or actually, they did last year. So
they did. They won the division.
Don't let Shook and Kamara and Etienne and Olave pass you this year. And the last one, my last one, it's Andy.
No.
It's Andy Reid for the sheer fact that you have Patrick Mahomes, arguably the best quarterback in the game. You went and got Eric Bieniemy back. You have Rashee Rice. You've got Kenneth Walker. Last year, they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball at all. Towards the season, they couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't score. They can't score more than 21 points in a game. Look at their average. They were averaging like 22 points a game. They don't score anymore. Chris Jones is a year older. They're hitting the reset button. They're about to hit the reset. If they don't play well this year, which I think could happen, they're going to hit the reset button. They didn't have a particularly good draft. Who scares you? Who scares you on their team?
None of them, because the receivers like the stink too. It's not just the running game.
It just seems like the players have checked out. It doesn't seem like they're listening to his voice. That's why they brought back Eric Bieniemy, because he's a get-in-your-face. Kelsey, what kind of impact is Kelsey going to make this year? So how many more years are we just going to continue to lose and waste the best years of Patrick Mahomes' life here? At some point...
But here's the thing. You're not going to fire Andy Reid. You're not going to fire the guy that brought you this dynasty.
Yeah.
You'll let him resign. You'll let him go.
You don't think they'd bring in a guy like Steve Sarkisian? You don't think they'd bring in a guy like Lane Kiffin?
No.
You don't think it's in this organization to make such a bold move like that?
No. And here's why. The line of succession is Eric Bieniemy. He's the guy. They're going to promote Eric Bieniemy to head coach. Because it's either him or Spags, and we've seen Spags. We've seen Spags as a head coach.
There'll be no such thing. That guy will never have a head coach again. He hasn't had it now. He's never going to have it. The NFL has moved away from the get-in-your-face head coach. They're not about that. Coordinators can do it. They don't want head coach anymore. That's not. Maybe Sean McDermott, because he comes from the Andy Reid tree, may be able to come down there and coach that team.
But with the level of success...
He's getting older.
Right. Yeah, but that's the thing.
Getting younger.
The level of success
like Mike Tomlin. You don't think they would dump Andy Reid for Mike Tomlin?
No. I don't think that they're going to dump Andy Reid for Mike Tomlin. Because I think they will give him the opportunity to leave. I think they're not going to fire him. No. That would be...
Exactly. It'll be a thing like they want to let him go and it's like, hey, Andy, you want to retire? What do you think?
Right. This is not going to be the same decision. This is not going to be the same mistake that the Eagles made. It's like, no, we're going to go in a different direction. No. Okay, cool. I'm going to go win more Super Bowls. See you later. Adios.
But the Eagles did win their Super Bowl first, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. And how many more has he won? He's won way more. Yeah. They've done more. They've done better.
I think it's been even since he left. Because they won two since he left. And I guess he won three. Hmm? So they have one more.
I think they have one more. I'll still take three because three is greater than two.
The Nick Foles Super Bowl and the Jalen Hurts Super Bowl.
That's it.
Right?
Exactly.
And they have Patrick as three.
Right. He was the steward of the Donovan McNabb upchuck in the huddle.
But they did play, I want to say they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl and won that Super Bowl. Kansas City beat the Eagles and won those Super Bowls.
The Eagles demolished in the most recent Super Bowl. The Eagles demolished them in the most recent Super Bowl.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The Eagles destroyed them in the most recent Super Bowl. Right. But you like to say that there are no in your face head coaches. Sirianni is a pretty in your face guy. He's kind of a douche. He's kind of a douche. I don't think that Eric Bieniemy reads as a douche. I think he's just an in your face, accountable head coach. I think that's the guy he could be. So it wouldn't surprise me, right? Because the line of succession, kind of like what Bill Belichick tried to do with Gerard Mayo. Mayo got his 1 year. He proved not to be the guy. So I think Eric Bieniemy coming back to the organization and Matt Nagy not being there will certainly help. Because Matt Nagy is the OC with the Giants.
So, how's that going to play out?
Very pedestrian. I'm surprised Mitch Trubisky is not the backup. Just to torture him. He's like, we brought in the guy. Still in the league. Still doing strong. Still going strong, that Mitch Trubisky. But ultimately, if Andy Reid decides to move on, it's because Andy Reid is going to be moving on. If a guy like John Harbaugh, you know, like he just got there. But for example, like a guy with that gravitas, a guy with that stature, with that resume, he decides when to go. He's going to decide when to go. But Sean Payton. If Sean Payton decides to retire at the end of the year, vaya con Dios. He's had a 20-plus year NFL head coaching career. But he's good, you know? So, when you say hot seat, you're talking about danger of being fired. And it would, it would be a PR nightmare if they fire him. And I think that Clark Hunt.
You're making it like he's untouchable. And I don't think that's true. I think if they have a 5-win season, he's gone.
They're not going to have a 5-win season, though. If they have a 5-win season, it's because Mahomes got hurt.
He's hurt. He's coming off of a torn ACL.
Uh-huh.
You think he's gonna move around and throw the ball like he was doing it all these other years? What was the best?
He's always been hurt. He's always hobbling and hopping around.
No.
Yes. Show me a year that Patrick Mahomes has been healthy. His escapability.
Right. His elusiveness.
But here's the thing. He's been dealing for the past 4 years. He's been dealing with a foot problem. He's had a plantar fasciitis problem for the past 4 years. He's been diminished, and he's still doing this.
A foot problem is different than tearing up your knee.
And he can still do it. He's rehabbed. That's the whole point of this.
Back that year after having that surgery, they ain't the same.
And we've seen plenty of athletes that come back.
His offensive line is going to be able to protect him without him being able to move around. Their whole offense is predicated on a backyard fucking play. I'm going to run around and create time, and then I'm just going to throw it 30 or 40 yards downfield. Do you think they're going to be able to do that this year? What's the over-under on Patrick Mahomes' touchdown this year for you?
25? Still capable. That arm.
Who was catching 25 touchdowns? Give me the breakdown. How many Rasheed Rice catching? 15?
I think you're going to have a bounce back from Kelce. You're going to have a bounce back.
What does a bounce back look like?
I'm thinking like 10 or 11 touchdowns.
Double digits for Kelce.
I'm thinking double digits for Kelce. For old man Kelce, who knows how to play in the system. Having Kenneth Walker will help.
Oh, there's another guy. You think he's playing fucking 16 games?
There's enough in the backfield. They have more than just Kenneth Walker. It's a team effort. Now, their receiving core leaves a lot to be desired. Plus, you just lost Hollywood Brown to the Eagles. But here's the thing. Here's what I believe in. I believe in that coaching staff being able to scheme their way to victory. I think they have the brain trust to do it. We're going to see. We're absolutely going to see.
They open up against the Broncos in Denver. How's that going to go?
It's not going to go well. But the Broncos aren't exactly great either. Bo Nix needs to prove.
You're right. You're 100% right. The Broncos are not great. But what do the Broncos do very well?
Well, they're also down Jonathan Cooper. So Jonathan Cooper's kind of important.
Patrick Surtain and the Broncos do very well.
They get after the quarterback.
They play fucking defense.
They do. But so do the Chiefs. They have enough on defense.
No, it's a Monday night game and it's in Kansas City.
Yeah. So it's projected to not be so hot. But it's if you're going in healthy, which the first week of the year, you figure everybody to be all systems go, it's going to be more even now than it will be later on in the year as things kind of take their toll. I expect both sides to be rusty, and I expect both sides to not be where they need to be.
I want to say the Broncos swept last
year. I believe you're right.
So now, at the very minimum, you're saying a split.
I'm thinking a split. A split is fine. A split is absolutely fair.
Yeah, division opponent, it's fair.
Yeah. Right. And the team that you can't lose to, the team you can't get swept by, the Raiders. You split with the Chargers, you split with the Broncos, you're fine with that. You take care of business with the rest of your schedule, you're okay. They're going to be fine. They're going to be a decent team. Now, a decent team is probably third place in this division, but that's more about the division they're in than the quality of play. They can still play very well, get 10-11 wins. 10-11 wins might not be enough to be a playoff team, especially in the AFC. We don't know. We got to see how it shakes out. But I expect Patrick Mahomes to be better. I expect Travis Kelce to be better. They have to be. Because they did not do themselves any favors with the wideout.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool Jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that could be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
Final rosters for the NFL season. Were there any cuts that surprised you? Were there any players that made the team that surprised you?
Well, when you sent me the list of players,
I just sent you one.
Well, that was the one that those were the notable ones according to Adam Schefter. Okay. And I was like, who? What? Yeah. What is this? Who are half of these people? I'm surprised that Wanya Morris got cut because they traded, the Falcons traded for Wanya Morris. And like, no, we're good. You didn't play well enough. We're not even going to keep you. You're going to go back to the Chiefs. Everybody knows it. So just, we're going to cut you.
Giant, that was good.
Fuck Evan Neal. Get the hell out of here.
First round pick, man.
And he's been horse shit. For years. He's been horse shit for years. He's been horse shit in the NFL for years. Tell me you haven't watched the Giants. No. Because here's why. It's about time that they cut him. Because he's been dog shit for years. It's about time the Giants have decided, they cut Jalen Hyatt too. Good. I'm happy for them. He has done diddly dick in the league.
I like Jalen Hyatt. I love Jalen
Hyatt. He can't catch. He's very fast. He can't catch.
He signs a lot of autographs.
He's a good tipper. He can't catch. What's the primary part of his position? Catching the football. My man. My dude.
My man.
You got to catch the fucking football. How many times, how many chances are you going to get? How many times do you want fans to say, we got to give him a chance? We got to give it. And when you go out.
I'm surprised Odell Beckham made the team.
When you look at, I'm surprised Darius Slayton made the team.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Now, Odell Beckham, he had a pretty good training camp. Fine. That's fine. Veteran presence. I'm okay with that.
It's not that. It's just that the bullshit that he's talking, like he's sucking up to the Giants. Oh, I wanted to come back here. I want to retire a Giant. I should have never left.
He's saying all the right things. This is PR 101.
I just got rid of you just for saying that. Just come up and play, man.
This is PR 101.
I don't want to hear that shit. And he's changing to number 13.
He's going back to his old number. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Oh, I'm going to win the Giants. You're going to win no Giants Super Bowl. The Giants aren't going to win the Super Bowl because of you.
No.
What is he top? What's his over-under catch?
The Rams didn't win a Super Bowl because of him.
What'd you say?
The Rams didn't win a Super Bowl because of him.
No, but he did have a clutch catch and a clutch first down in that game. I really
did. And that's when his leg exploded. Yes, I remember.
He did make a phenomenal catch. But, yes. What are we going to get from him this year? What, one-handed grabs?
Nope.
Like, come on, taking a spot from a Jalen Hyatt. He's got a future.
Stop. Stop. Out. You're embarrassing yourself.
He's a great player.
Stop it.
I tell you, he's awesome.
He'll go to the Jets. He'll go to the Jets. Go. Have fun. Sounds like a Jet already. Can't catch. That's perfect. Now, I'm surprised that the Titans actually pulled the trigger on Will Levis. We talked about guys that I'm surprised.
What happened to this guy?
Whole Foods to bag groceries? I don't know. Like, maybe he goes to the UFL?
Kennedy?
Like, there's got to be... I mean, this is the man who said there are not 32 quarterbacks better than him. Not only are there...
challenge you on that, Will.
I'm going to call bullshit on that. There's apparently 64 quarterbacks that are better than you.
I see you at 32.
And I raise you 32. They're saying there's actually 64. So...
Well, you're the Cardinals.
You bring him in for a tryout. Yes. If you're the Jets, you need a veteran backup.
No.
You call him.
No,
I know it's a better one. I know we've talked about this, but you call him. Have him work out. Have him work out. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Right? You have. He's a better backup than a few teams. I wouldn't necessarily say all of them, but he's worth a shot, maybe, to be on a practice spot, to bring in for a workout. Like, kid's got an arm.
The question's always been
about the head.
If you're the Vikings.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
You know what you got. You know
if you're the Falcons.
You know who your backup is.
If you're the Falcons. Tua's hot garbage.
Yes.
Tua's scrambled eggs.
Yes.
Yeah, I would do that. I mean, the Dolphins finally went and got Kyle McCord. They got rid of all their quarterbacks except for Malik Willis. You're telling me he can't be the third string quarterback on the Miami Dolphins? I believe in what we're doing here. We're just kind of wiping the slate clean, getting rid of everybody, and just getting just Kyle McCord. Okay, sure. But a lot of these guys, deservedly so, it's about time some of them getting cut. Johnny Hecker got beat out by a rookie. That's about money.
Did Richardson make the team?
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did. Ogba, I mean, we'll see. He got cut by the Chiefs. So he'll probably latch on someplace else, probably Baltimore, someplace that can always use another defensive end. Mecole Hardman will get another shot. Even though he got cut by the Bills, he's a dynamic kick returner. That's where he is in this NFL. Like, that's his role. And I think that could be where, like, to tie it back to Beckham, like, a guy like Braxton Berrios got released too. So, I think the Giants cut him. So, he may have gone to the practice squad, but I'm pretty sure the Giants cut him. But, you know, there are some guys who have made significant strides in the kick return game, that's your role. Go ahead, enjoy it. Have that. And, you know, a guy like Beckham has been dynamic in the kick game. So, depending on how Harbaugh wants to use him, like, that's another way that he, especially since that Austin is out for the year, maybe that was one of the determining factors in keeping him. Because Jalin Hyatt, once again, can't catch a cold. So, overall, of the cuts, nobody's really surprising, but I'm actually thrilled that accountability would rule the day.
You're crazy. So, I was actually very surprised Joe Milton was cut. I mean, Dallas traded for him. Jerry Jones was excited about him. He was having a good camp. Some would say he had a better camp than Sam Howell. And you cut him? You're telling me you couldn't trade Joe Milton? Come on. Come on.
What'd you get? You traded, what, sixth for him? Seventh or a sixth? A late round pick.
The Jets love guys that are about to get That's their specialty.
That's their bread and butter.
That's their bread and butter, man. Are you kidding me? Tell me he wouldn't be a good Jet.
He would be a good Jet.
A great Jet. That's better than this other guy, this Clemson kid.
Klubnik? Yeah.
Come on.
He might be better than Geno.
Even if you're the Tennessee Titans, you don't go get Milton? Come on.
Cam Ward hasn't been great.
And the whole thing was, is like, everybody was saying how great he was in the games and camp. Did he not have good practices? Like, what happened here? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that it doesn't compute.
Who's the backup? Cooper Rush?
He's in Atlanta. He's still in Atlanta.
So who's the backup? Who beat? Oh, Howell beat him.
Yeah.
Seriously? Really? You lost to that guy?
Sam Howell's a journeyman at this point. I mean, he's got a big arm, but that's about it. It doesn't really fit the offense as well as Joe Milton does. And Joe Milton, you know, he's got raw talent and raw skill. Somebody's going to pick him up and he's going to have a run. I think he could have a run. Now, if that's a team like the Cardinals, we mentioned that about Will Levis, right? Bring him in. Have him work out. Right? Why not? The Falcons. Bring him in. Work him out. The Bucks. They have an undrafted.
I got a good team for him. The Commanders.
He'll play.
He'll play.
He'll play.
You're going to play.
He'll play.
We need you to play.
He'll play. Eventually, Josh Johnson will be back. But before Josh Johnson gets back, you're going to need a stopgap until Josh Johnson plays for
Joe
the Commanders.
Joe Milton's better than Fields.
Yes.
He just is. Just because he can throw. Just throw.
No.
Throw.
Definitely not. Now, you have Minnesota's such a mess.
Why do you say this?
Kyler Murray, JJ McCarthy, Carson Wentz.
I'm hitching my wagon to that offense this year.
Enjoy. But have fun with that. That's great, but Minnesota's a never team with that quarterback room. That's a never team with the quarterback room. You downgraded from Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold to this mess.
I got a great idea. This is what we're gonna draft
changing. No, yeah, well, leave. There it is. There it is, right there. The fact that you got me over into the Sam Darnold camp is all you need to know. Because I've never been high on Sam. Like, you know this. I've never been high on Sam Darnold. Sam, the problem with Sam has always been between the ears. It's always been between the ears with Sam. And it looks like he finally corrected it. There's too much going on with the quarterbacks in Minnesota. So that's a dog shit situation. Cleveland, it's a dog shit situation. Right? And the last thing they want to do, the last thing Cleveland needs is bring in another damn quarterback. No, so, no.
They've got their Joe Milton and Shedeur Sanders. And what's his face is actually good in the preseason. The lefty from Oregon. What's his name?
Oh, Dylan Gabriel. Yeah. They're keeping him. They're keeping four on the roster.
He looked good.
That's... An underrated pickup, an underrated spot for Joe Milton, Green Bay. Your backup is Tyrod Taylor. If Jordan Love gets hurt, Tyrod Taylor's got to play. Tyrod Taylor's going to get hurt. You know this. Yes. You know this and I know this. But if Tyrod Taylor has to play for an extended period of time, he's going to get hurt. Right? So, you know, if Green Bay calls you, answer the phone.
Pick it up.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ. At BigForkBrands.com.
All right, finally, to baseball, where I've been itching to go. The Phillies and Cubs are tied for the top wild card spot in the National League. The Phillies had the best August with a 21-7 record, and the Cubs have the MVP candidate PCA, who is scored up next week. Which way are you leaning?
The Cubs closed out the month of August with a 9-homer day.
And they think they had 23 home runs in the month, yeah. Which is the second or tied for the most.
Absurd. Can you really bank on this power surge being a consistent thing for the remainder of the year? I'm banking on no. How about no? Now, the Phillies, we know what they got, right? We know who's there. We don't really need to go too much into it. Those guys mash the ball. That's their job, right? Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, it's what they do. Pete Crow Armstrong's had a hell of a year. They're playing out of their mind right now. But when you boil it down and you really look at the pitching side, that's where the Cubs have the edge for me. Because you bring in Gausman, you bring in Holmes, looked amazing. Clay Holmes looked great. Son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Now Luis Robert is going to light it up for the Baltimore Orioles. You know this and I know that. But I think the drop-off, we've talked about the noted drop-off in the Phillies rotation. I don't see the drop-off in the Cubs rotation. And because of that, I like their chances more than I like the Phillies. Both will end up in the playoffs. Both will make noise in the playoffs. But not having to rely on a guy like Aaron Nola definitely makes me sleep better at night. And not having to go to your fourth starter if you don't need to, I think that's what's going to give the Cubs the edge. Because if they have to go to a guy like Matt Boyd or, God forbid, David Peterson, shit has hit the fan. But I like what I'm seeing out of Wrigley right now.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. It's all about getting hot in August, hot in September. With the Phillies, I think, like you said, they're professional hitters. They all can bang it. They do have Aaron Nola, but they also have a former Met Wheeler. You heard of him?
Yes.
You heard of him, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that guy can grow. And I think I think that team has the ability to make big strides in the playoffs and bang it with the Dodgers and bang it with the, like a first round matchup against the Braves. That's a pick 'em. Just because they're division rivals, they know each other really well. Think it can happen in the series. The Cubs. I'm not sold on their pitching. I want to say they give up some. Their bullpen gives up some of the most home runs in baseball. I don't have a stat to back that up. I feel like they're pretty high. I don't believe in PCA. I think he's hot right now, but to me, he might win the MVP and he's an MVP candidate, but Ohtani's my guy. I don't forget what Pete did earlier this year, the mishap he had in person in the stadiums, which was unfortunate. And they're hot. They're hot right now. The Phillies are hot right now, but given a choice between the two.
And you have every right to go that way. Now, I like the construction a little bit better of what's going on right now. Because you have PCA, you have Bregman, you have Horner, you have a good structure there. Carson Kelly's pretty decent. Amaya's is fine. It has to boil down to the starting pitcher. Now, the bullpen isn't that impressive when you look at name value. They don't have like the Joan Durans and things of that nature. But you can also, you've had veterans who have pitched out of the bullpen. And if you look at even the Dodgers, right? You look at veteran pitchers going to the bullpen, especially this time of year. In a short series, absolutely you can do that. You can slide Boyd back in the bullpen, Savali into the bullpen. Shit. Clay, you were a closer. We're going to need you. Be ready. That veteran presence definitely gives me some confidence. It absolutely does. Because when you look at a guy like Jose Alvarado, electric stuff. Jose Alvarado has great stuff. He's a nutcase. Jose Alvarado is a freaking nutcase. Is that a guy you want to bring in? He's an excitable fella. I can't trust a guy like that in a high leverage situation when the pressure is that much higher. Regular season is one thing. Playoffs, different level of pressure. I don't need this guy blowing a gasket. Now we're gonna see. There's gonna be plenty of opportunity down the run to see where these guys shake out. And they're peaking at the right time. They're getting healthy at the right time. Their bats are starting to hum. This is what you want. This is absolutely what you want to watch down the stretch. And we're gonna see the cream rise to the top. And the National League, those playoff series are going to be, they're going to be must-see TV, unlike the American
League. Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, you really care about what's under your hood.
All right, so your boy, Evan Roberts of The Fan, is predicting Major League Baseball will have a mercy rule as early as next year. See, I thought Rob Manfred was done leaving baseball.
In the week since we've had our last episode, do you know how many position players had to pitch?
No.
Seven.
Solid.
Seven. So from Thursday to Monday, seven relief pitchers were position players. And what does that mean? That means teams have run up the white flag and decided we're fucking done. We are done. It's over, muchacho. Adios. Let's just get the hell out of here and be done. Now, with this comes meaningless stat pad, right? Because, you know, if I have a second base now, the bench second base, like Andrew Monasterio, I think, came in for the Red Sox. He's not throwing his arm out. He's not Paul O'Neill. He's not Jose Canseco. He's not trying to throw hard. He's throwing Little League 32 miles an hour. You know, he's throwing lollipops up there. They're going yard. You're going yard off of them. So that's just an extra layer. Not only is an embarrassment that your pitching is so bad, but now also your offense is just as meaningless, because you're getting it off of a guy who's basically throwing underhand. Basically slow pitch softball. Because that's really what we need right now. I think PCA also took advantage of that. He launched one. I want to say Sunday night. But what are we doing here? Right? This idea of best pitching, best offense. We're throwers. We're not pitchers. Everybody can hit a fastball. We're at that point. Everybody can hit a fastball. Can pitchers legitimately pitch and get out of jams, go three times through the order, save your bullpen? So maybe you don't end up in this position, because a lot of times over those seven games, it wasn't the starter. The starter left their team in a position where they were okay. Like, you could have fought out of it. And then the bullpen just put gasoline on the fire. I mean, look at the Yankee game last night. They did the exact opposite. They brought in their closer. And then Bednar gave up four runs and ended up being 10-1. So, you're down. Why are you bringing in your closer there? Like, there's a happy medium in there somewhere. So we got to have this in it. Got to have this in. But a mercy rule, it just further cheapens the game, just further bastardizes the game. And it just takes the professionalism out. What are we doing? And as a ticket holder, right? You spend top dollar, you're going to go to a Yankee game, you're going to go to a Met game, and all of a sudden, final after five innings, 16-1. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your day. You're out in an hour. You're out in 2 hours, but not the 2 hours you were hoping for. So how are owners going to recoup those costs? How are you going to do that? Because drive home safely. We're not keeping this. You're going to keep the stadium open. You're going to let them hang around and drink. You're going to keep selling the concessions. Like, how are you going to make that back? Because if the game ends after five, because it's a mercy, there's money coming out of your pocket. So maybe that would be the incentive to actually put a competitive product up. So that way, you're not getting the mercies, and then you're, you know, getting the full nine. But it's Bush League, and I hope that Rob Manfred did not hear that, because he's going to go in. He's like, I have a great idea. This is fantastic. You thought the Ghost Runner was good. You thought seven inning doubleheaders was good. Wait till you hear this one. That and the safety bag. Those are probably going to be the next two. And we're really going to turn this into adult slow pitch softball.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I get where everybody's coming from, but like you said, the problem is you've paid so much for this product. You can't toot out there of fielder throwing batting practice.
No.
You can't do it. You just can't do it. Be a professional ball player. Treat them as such. And the other thing, Z, it's kind of disrespectful to the game, right? I mean, we're kind of disrespecting the game here. Like, you know, you're disrespecting your opponent by doing this. And it's an easy way for a guy like PCA to pad stats, right? He's adding home runs and RBIs and hits that aren't off of major league pitchers. I don't agree with a mercy rule, but there needs to be a middle ground somewhere. And I think you gotta respect the game. And I'm not trying to say, like, tell your shortstop to just ground out or lay down a bunt. But maybe it is you sub people out. You get run out of an inning in some way, shape, or form. Like, there's just other ways to go about it other than, you know, bringing in your left fielder to throw strikes. Because he could get hurt too.
Right.
I mean, he could take a line drive off the face and he's throwing it slow. Someone's being stupid.
Jose Canseco actually took it seriously and blew his arm out. They're not all going to be Wade Boggs trying to perfect his knuckle. All right. You're going to have guys like Paul O'Neill who are, like, taking it seriously.
The fielders can't be bailing out the pitchers. That's not how this works.
So, I mean, you have the mercy rule idea. I'm sure the run cap idea. Run cap per inning. I'm sure that's going to be brought up. The way to go about fixing this is actually put competitive teams on the field. Yeah, you're going to have bad days. Fight through it. And I get you're trying to preserve relief pitchers. I understand that. I get the premise behind putting the position player on the mound. And it's a lose-lose situation. The game's already over.
Yeah.
The game's already over. You know? So, are we really going to make it worse?
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Well, that kind of leads us into our next topic, which is, you know, either by trying or lack of trying, we have several Major League Baseball teams in the American League that could make the playoffs with a sub-500 record. Now, basketball allows terrible teams in their playoff every year. With the extra playoff team in the NFL the last couple of years, they've started to allow shit teams in the playoffs as well. But baseball has always been resilient. They've been, it's a 162-game marathon. We want the best and brightest. So, do you have a problem with Major League Baseball following a professional team?
Well, this all stems from an ESPN article from Bradford Doolittle. And they put together 6 ideas to kind of keep this from occurring. Because as of August 23rd, you had, I believe, 4 teams that were sub-500 in the playoffs. That since has rectified itself. Everybody's now over 500. Some of the ideas: dropping the playoff slots that would be filled by a loser. So just, you're done.
Thanks,
you're done.
For playing.
Thanks for coming. So basically, let's say, for example, that the National League, the third wild card in the National League, no one was over 500. Okay, so it's like the Diamondbacks, the, you know, the Reds, whoever. Adios. No, nobody's over 500. We can't fill that. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers have to play in the first round. Or the Dodgers have to play, or the Braves have to play in the first round. You've been working all year to secure that first round bye, and now all of a sudden, because these mofos can't handle their business and finish over 500, I now have to play in the first round? Where's the fairness in that? I played on the up and up. I won my games, and I'm getting screwed over because these bastards can't friggin' do it. That's a joke. Now, option two, draft from another division or draft from another league. So, let's say the Cleveland Guardians, who are in third wild card, and they, you know, they don't make it. You can turn around and invite the Padres into the American League playoffs. So you could possibly have a Dodgers-Padres World Series. The fuck? What's the point? At that point, just eliminate divisions altogether. Eliminate American League, National League. Take the reseeding, right? Just take the 14 best teams and call it a day. Then there was this idea of adding ghost wins. They're like, we don't need more ghosts. Stop with the fucking ghosts in baseball. Absolutely not gonna do that. Or fix the schedule. So diminish the number of interleague play, emphasize division again. But I just don't know if any of those do the trick, right? Because a lot of these teams aren't investing enough in their club to stay afloat. So how do you get these teams to get better? That's what you need to do. Get better players on your team. Because that will fix this, right? In theory, if I have a team of better players, they're going to have more wins. And more wins means I don't have to worry about these other fucking options.
Hold on. The other thing is you can cut out the interleague play, right?
I'm all for that. I would love that. The problem is that we would need to expand in order to make sure that we don't have interleague play, right? You would still need the 31st and 32nd team, which would further dilute the problem. To go back to what we were just talking about, we're going to have more mediocre players.
Just get rid of this extra wild card game. This is so fucking stupid.
They're never going to do that, dude. They're not going to do that. They're not going to take money off the table. They're not going to. They're never going to take money off the table. They'll add more wild card teams before they take any away. It's just it's a shit show. And I don't, you know, at this point, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the alternative is to kind of make a mockery of everything that you've done, right? Kind of turn everything on its ear. So I think you somehow have to put the onus back on these teams to field more competitive product at the end of the day, because they're making you look bad. It's not so much that, you know, it's not the scheduling, like you schedule who's on your schedule. That's it. The teams are causing this. So how do you fix it? Better competition.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have Ray Hartgen, who is the author of How the Steelers Saved Pittsburgh. Thanks for coming on today.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I love what you guys are doing, D&Z, on the fade route. And so I'm glad I'm running this route off the tree today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, so...
All right, title, let's get to it.
Yeah, your title is pretty provocative. Claim, How the Steelers Saved Pittsburgh. What exactly did you mean by saved? And at what point did you realize this was about much more than football?
Yeah, the book is entitled Immaculate, How the Steelers Saved Pittsburgh. I am not the Yinzer of the bunch, of the two writers. You know, I co-wrote the book with Tom Olenek. Tom is a biotech executive, and he's the Yinzer. He's the dude from Pittsburgh. And, you know, he loves his city, and he loves his team. And, you know, he's my age. He's in his 60s. And, you know, he lived through this really painful deindustrialization transformation in the city of Pittsburgh when he's growing up. You know, and if you look at the city of Pittsburgh, what they were, you know, like in the early 1900s, up through 1960s or so, then what they had to endure in the 70s and 80s, and then where they emerged from in the 90s and in the year 2000 and so forth into this new economy success story. You know, in Tom's mind, he had in his head that, you know, the Steelers, Pittsburgh, you know, they were able to get through this painful deindustrialization transformation where other Rust Belt cousins of theirs, Detroit, Cleveland, Akron, you know, Gary, et cetera, all those cities, Buffalo, they continue to struggle even now to make this transformation. In his mind, what set Pittsburgh apart was that, you know, in the city's darkest hours, they had heroes to look forward to. You know, they had the grit to stick to it because they saw their football team, which since its founding for 39 years had been pretty mediocre at best, maybe horrible would be a common descriptor of them. All of a sudden, you know, 1972, they turned a corner. Later on in that decade, they win 4 Super Bowls in 6 years. And so, you know, in his mind, you know, Tom always talked about, you know, for decades, how the Steelers saved Pittsburgh. They gave Pittsburgh the strength to continue on when things were tough, to really stick to it. They found their heroes at Three River Stadium. And, you know, Tom kept talking about this over and over and over. And finally, me being the writer one day, I said, hey, Tom, if not now, when? You know, when are we going to tell the story? It's almost 50 years old, right? So, you know, let me get started with it. Let me begin to tell your story, and if it begins to stray off of your vision, we'll just course correct. Well, it turned out we didn't have to course correct. In about 18 months, we had a book that I'm super proud of. It's called Immaculate, How the Steelers Saved Pittsburgh. And for a guy like me who did not grow up in Pittsburgh, I learned so much about, you know, the city, the steel industry, the troubles they went through. I also learned a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers, who D&Z, man, I hated. The 12-year-old Ray would be so ashamed that the 50-something-year-old Ray wrote this book, because, you know, I was born in Texas, and as a good Texan, Dallas Cowboys were my team at the time, right? And the Cowboys, you know, famously lost 2 Super Bowls. My second favorite team was the Houston Oilers, because I was a good Texan, and the Houston Oilers played in the same division as the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Central Division, could never win the division title, lost a very close playoff game in Three River Stadium. And then my third favorite team was the Oakland Raiders, because my mama liked Kenny Stabler, just like everybody's mama liked Kenny Stabler. So the Raiders are my third favorite team, and they lost 3 playoff games to the Steelers, you know, very famously. So, you know, as a kid, the Pittsburgh Steelers were like gum on my shoes, man. I hated them. And, you know, I grew to respect them as I got older and as I became an adult. But then, you know, looking back at all these games that are available on YouTube, you know, really understanding the game and the way they played it, a lot of respect for them. Just great coaches, unbelievable players, a franchise that is still living off those glory days. They've won a couple of Super Bowls since, four Super Bowls in 6 years, the first dynasty of the NFL's Super Bowl era.
You know, you mentioned other cities that were going through tough times, like Detroit, Indiana. I mean, do you think another city could have had its own version of that? Or was there something unique to Pittsburgh about the relationship between the Steelers and the city?
Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh had a little bit of an advantage, a foundation in academia and in medicine, right? You know, so the steel industry had been so prosperous for very rich people the art scene in Pittsburgh was a vibrant community, but also the academia, University of Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon and others, you know, and had these programs that were, you know, kind of built around the steel, definitely built on steel money. But when things began to transfer into different types of engineering, technology and the like, you know, Pittsburgh now is, they're world renowned as a leader in technology, particularly robotics, engineering, medicine, academia. So I think, you know, having that academic background was a little bit different than, you know, Detroit. You know, Detroit has, you know, fantastic institution in a little bit of ways in Ann Arbor and University of Michigan. But, you know, within the city, something for the city of Pittsburgh to fall back on and build off of.
Gee, I didn't even know that. I had no idea that Pittsburgh had that kind of background. So one thing that really struck me about the story is the parallel between Pittsburgh steelworkers and the Steelers themselves, the toughness, the blue-collar identity, the idea of showing up and getting the job done. How much of that connection was real? And how much of it was something Pittsburgh created in hindsight?
I think it was completely real, right? You know, when you looked at the steel industry in the city of Pittsburgh, you know, people took showers when they came home from work, not before they went to work. You know, it's a big difference, right? You know, the city of Pittsburgh was a blue-collar town, right? And you worked for the industry, whether you worked in, you know, directly in a mill or you worked at headquarters for, you know, one of the mills. Even if you just had a mechanic shop, your customers were people that were associated with the steel industry. It was all in, right? And, you know, if you've, I don't know, you know, even today with new technology, steelwork is tough. It's hot, heavy and dangerous, but you know, back then it was even more so. And you know, these were tough guys, and they looked to have tough guys in the football team. Now the 1970s NFL, I mean, that was maybe as tough as it got when you look at the sport. You know, you go back to YouTube and check out these games of the 70s and compare the game of the 70s to the game today. It's very, very different. But certainly, you know, the Steelers, a tough team, particularly in the 70s, defense, the Steel Curtain defense, and some of the characters they had on that team, you know, players like Jack Lambert, Mean Joe Green, you know, Mel Blunt, Donnie Schell, those are just defenders, you know, that kind of epitomized toughness. And so, you know, very easy for a blue-collar worker, you know, to look over at Three Rivers Stadium and see, you know, a team that's kind of built in their mirror image. You know, blue collar, bring your lunch pail to work. It's going to be a long day. You know, it's going to be fought in the trenches. It's going to be fought, you know, 1 yard at a time, one blade of AstroTurf at a time, until we get to the end of the game. Definitely the city and the worker within that city and the football team, you know, shared a bond of, you know, success through hard work.
Check out part two of our interview with author Ray Hartgen later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out of this year's show, takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
It was a tie. It was a tie between Deshaun Watson and Jed York.
Wow, those two minds, yes.
Yeah. Well, those are very appropriate. Very appropriate that those two guys are tied together. But, yeah. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right, so I've got the running back of the Green Bay Packers. His name is Josh Jacobs. He was placed on the commissioner's exempt list today. Jacobs was formally charged with two misdemeanor charges stemming from an alleged incident with a woman in May. There is a rumor that there is a Ray Rice type video out there, but the Green Bay Packers have said they have not seen it. Josh Jacobs, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I've got Ketel Marte. The Arizona second baseman went AWOL for the fourth consecutive year, in which he just vanishes away from his team. He returned to his team yesterday after leaving the team on his own for 14 days. At one point, he was spotted in a casino while his team played a game 30 minutes away. When asked if he had anything, any messages or anything he wanted to say to the fans for his departure, he said, Ketel Marte, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And the last but not least, a little bit of controversy here, and that's Naomi Osaka. She is a fantastic tennis player. She showed up to the U.S. Open in Queens wearing an Allen Iverson-inspired getup. This is the same player that in 2021 at the French Open would not participate in post-match press conferences because she said they caused her anxiety and affected her mental health, in which she went on to say that I hate the media. I don't necessarily hate the French media, I just hate all media in general. So here's my deal. If you don't like the media and you don't like attention, then going to the Open in an Allen Iverson getup was not the route to go. You show up, you play your tennis, answer the questions, and go home if you don't want to draw attention to yourself. Otherwise, you welcome all of this as a professional athlete. That's part of the job. And then that's it. Naomi Osaka, you are my little superstar. You're pretty fancy.
All good choices. All good choices. You do have the responsibility. Absolutely, you do. It's tricky. You know, because
you gotta pick one or the other, though.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with the media and you're beefing, you don't want all the attention and you don't want to be asked questions and you don't want, then do not draw attention to yourself. Come, play the tennis match and leave. You're getting paid millions of dollars. So if you've got to do a press conference and you get asked these questions, doing something abnormally is inviting attention. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, that's fair. That's definitely fair. Because it is very much, you know, you are drawing attention to yourself and then kind of stiff-arming the attention away. I'm going to start with Dejan Love. Who's Dejan Love, you might ask? Here's a guy. He is a guy who has been scamming women in order to get money and dates by claiming he's a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. There are videos of Mr. Love, which is a great, yeah, Mr. Love. That's perfect. That's exactly what he's trying to do. But there are videos of him running routes on the beach in full practice gear, the dry fit, the helmet, like the full regalia. Several women have posted saying, I just met a San Francisco 49er, one of the best receivers in the league. Who is that?
By far.
Many people have pointed out no professional football player goes around in their helmet and their pretty much their team sponsor clothing. That's probably the giveaway. But hey, he tricked 26 women in 4 states out of $1.3 million. Jesus. Come on now. Dejan Love, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, Major League Baseball. In the past week, there have been 7 instances where a position player has had to pitch because the games have gotten so out of hand and the blowouts have gotten so egregious. Coincide that with the report that Evan Roberts thinks that there's going to be a mercy rule because of this crap in Major League Baseball. But game's better than it's ever been. We have the biggest, the strongest, they throw the hardest. There's a fundamental disconnect between those two things. Major League Baseball, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 3, Evan Neal, former first round pick of the New York Giants, finally put out of his misery and cut. Moved him from tackle to guard, didn't work. Moved him left to right, didn't work. Made the comment a couple years ago about how fans need to stay in their lane and how they're a bunch of hot dog rollers. That's lovely. It's lovely how you talk about people who pay your salary. And it's time to move on. It's about time that the Giants have moved on and take accountability for the fact that they fucked that pick up. Coming out of college, looked like a can't miss. Oh, we got Evan Neal. I was on board. I wanted Thibodeau and Evan Neal. I got Thibodeau and Evan Neal. Thibodeau's been okay. He hasn't been great. He's been okay. Evan Neal's been an unmitigated disaster. The likes of which haven't been seen on the Giants offensive line since Eric Flowers. So if we're invoking the name of Eric Flowers, you're bad. You are fucking atrocious. Vaya con Dios, Mr. Neal. Evan Neal, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And a bonus honorable mention goes to Man City midfielder Phil Foden. This one's in jest. He was recently on the Spud Bros YouTube channel. Have you seen the Spud Bros, Dave? So basically, it's a food truck that does jacket potatoes. So you have your potato, and you can customize it with what you like in there. They have cheese, chicken, the whole thing. Yes, I understand that there was nothing left because training was over. It was the end of the day. But Mr. Foden's jacket potato, ready for this? Tuna fish, garlic butter, cheese, baked beans, and coleslaw. It might just be a British thing, because I don't get it. Like, a lot of those things don't go together. But good for you, I guess. And he got it for free. So there's that. I don't even know if I would eat that for free. That's just me. Phil Foden, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Drop Podcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.